Can my friend take your Bibles, find Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, and that song there sets the table for us as we begin a new sermon series today called Get Smart. We're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs for the next handful of weeks together, and really what I want you to see is that the book of Proverbs does indeed help us to get smart. Now, not just head smart. In fact, really what it is it's really wisdom, and wisdom's a lot more than just having it up here. Wisdom is having it in your heart and your soul as well. And so, really, I want to ask you to look at the book of Proverbs. I hope today really to give you a sense of how valuable God's Proverbs are in our lives. And, you know, people look for advice in different places. It used to be very popular for people to write into advice columns like Dear Abby or Ann Landers. I don't think folks do that all that much. I mean, newspapers have a hard enough time right now just even get people to buy them for the coupons, but really, there's still people looking for advice. In fact, my wife and I sometimes we'll catch on the radio. Usually, admittedly, we're in the van or something or in the car. In the evenings on Light 98.1, they have her, I believe, on 101.3 down at the beach where Derek's family's from and where I grew up. And it's Delilah After Dark. I don't know if you've ever listened to Delilah on the radio, but Delilah has these things called Delilah's Dilemmas. And folks can either call in or write in to her, and they'll share with her this situation in their life that needs wisdom, where they need some answers. And it's amazing that folks will turn to a person who really, I mean, and I have to tell you, sometimes I agree with Delilah, and sometimes I'm like, Delilah, you're absolutely blowing that. And Delilah has an interesting story herself. But really her, one of the things that got on the radio was because one thing you have to agree with, she's got a pretty good radio voice. But why people would turn to someone whom they may not even know anything about and say, tell me what I should do in this situation. That's a pretty crazy way to live if you want to look at it. Well, God tells us here in the Bible, the book of Proverbs especially, this is how you can live. I've got advice for you. I've got wisdom for you. I've got smart, successful strategies for you when it comes to your responsibilities in life, when it comes to your relationships in life. Really, I kind of came up with this sentence to help me remember Proverbs. I wrote down, Proverbs of the Bible are the common sense of Holy Scripture. They are the common sense of Holy Scripture. Someone else has said that Proverbs are short sayings based on long experience. Let me just kind of test your knowledge of some different kind of catchy proverbs that are out there. And, of course, these are more kind of cultural proverbs than really biblical proverbs, but I bet you know some of them. Say it out loud with me. A penny saved is what? A penny earned. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Practice makes perfect. Actions speak louder than words. Where there's a will, there's a way. Two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, you see how easily somewhere along the way you picked up some of those little proverbs and sayings of life. Well, in the Bible, right about in the middle of your Bible, you have the book of Proverbs. And here you have in the neighborhood of 3,000 proverbs. In fact, 1 Kings, the Old Testament, tells us that Solomon wrote 3,000 plus proverbs. And what's interesting is in the book of 1 Kings, it kind of gives us more the biography of Solomon's life, King Solomon. You see Solomon, I believe it's in chapter 3, asks God. He doesn't ask God for health. He doesn't ask God for wealth. He asks God for wisdom. And I want you to just see today how valuable wisdom really is. So let's pray, all right? Father, I pray right now that you will just anoint us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to see the value of your wisdom. Oh, Lord God, help us. Help us to understand how blessed we are, that you reveal your will for us and that you speak to us in a way that we can carry around in our hand in the Bible. Lord God, thank you. Give us a heart for your wisdom this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, look with me, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Right here also, you see the audience for the book of Proverbs written. He talks about the simple. physically speaking, the simple-minded, we're usually supposed to be children. In fact, Jesus talks to us about having a childlike faith. Oftentimes we want to complicate our faith. Really, we're to have a simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about simple. Then he talks about youth, about how he wants the youth to have knowledge and discretion. And then he says, then let the wise hear and increase in learning. See, the idea is this, is as we grow up, we're to get wiser and wiser and wiser. But we're never, ever wise enough. We're to keep growing in wisdom. We're to keep getting smarter when it comes to God's will and God's word in our lives. And then verse 7 really is the theme verse of the book of Proverbs. This is the heartbeat of the book of Proverbs. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So let me just kind of share with you three aspects of this wisdom that you read about here. First of all, it's what I call wisdom's worth. I want you just to see how valuable Proverbs are in our lives, how valuable God's wisdom is in our life. The Bible says to know wisdom, and then he kind of amplifies the concept of wisdom. He says instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, equity, to give prudence. I wrote down intellectual. It's the idea here that God wants us to grow intellectually. Some people have the thought that when you pull into the church parking lot, you leave your brains in the car and you don't bring them inside the church. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with your mind also, all right? The mind is included. You know, we need to know how to think wiser and smarter as the people of God. So it is intellectual, all right? And that's why, you know, I hope that we're growing intellectually as we study God's word, as God's people. But there's something else. It's not just mental. It's not just mental. It's also moral. See, God is always concerned with our morals. That's why you read here that we're to have righteousness, wise dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity, verse 3. Moral, so we can know right from wrong, so we can know how to live in a just way. Equity, so we can know how to be fair. We can know what to value in this life. But it's more than intellectual, it's more than just moral. It's also very practical. Verse 4 says to give prudence to the simple. Prudence. That's why I wrote down that Proverbs are common sense from Holy Scripture. God wants us to live prudent, smart, wise lives in a very practical way. I give you an illustration of kind of what it means to be, you know, kind of practical teaching. I think about our son. You know, we gave him a baseball glove last weekend as we were celebrating, you know, Christ's resurrection and Easter. We gave him a small gift to remind them of what God's given us in Christ, and gave him a baseball glove. And he was out, you know, playing catch with me in the backyard. And you know, it's important, you know, to instruct your son, you know, in catching a baseball, because if not, you know, you're going to hit him in the face eventually. All right. And so I'm sitting out there, I'm just kind of tossing baseball with him. And you know, there are different ways to catch a baseball. If you throw it up high, you kind of hold the glove like that. Well, if you throw it down low, you don't hold the glove like that. You turn it like that. You see, when I'm instructing my son like that, that's practical advice. That's practical teaching. I'm trying to help him understand how to catch the ball, but also how to keep from getting a bloody nose. All right. Practical. The idea in Proverbs is it's as practical as that. It helps us know how to make wise decisions. Now, I want to give you an illustration from the life of Solomon. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, kids, is in 1 Kings chapter 3. And hear what you read after God answers Solomon's prayer for wisdom. There's an episode of where there are these two women who have babies. And they both are living together. Folks that had limited means back at this time, oftentimes they would share a room. And so one lady sleeping on this side, one over there. And during the midst of the night, they both had their nursing baby sleeping with them, one lady rolls over and smothers her baby. And so what she does is she gets up in the middle of the night and she exchanges babies. Well, the other lady wakes up in the morning and realizes, when the light of day, the Bible says, in the light of day she sees, she says, that's not my son. This isn't my baby. It eventually reaches up to King Solomon having to make a decision about whose baby is whose. He is, now understand this, he's like the Supreme Court, the President, Congress, all wrapped into one. I mean, he's King Solomon. And King Solomon does something that I don't know, this thought, it's amazing here. He asks for a sword. He calls for a sword and he says, put the baby right here. He says, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to cut the baby in two. and each of you can have half of it. Right then, the lady who is the real mom cries out and says, no, she can have him. Spare the baby's life. And right then, wise Solomon knew that that was the real mother, because she loved her son too much to see his life taken. Wow. I'm telling you, see, he was going to face decisions, and you know what? You and I, we face decisions. Every day, you face decisions. You might be 8 years old in this room this morning, and you know what? You're going to face some decisions. You might be 18. You might be 81. And you know what? You are going to face decisions in life where you're going to need God's wisdom. And I want you to know, God's wisdom is worth it. You know, I kind of wrote down some questions to ask yourself as you're reading Proverbs. I think I listed them in your notes. Number one, what virtue does Proverbs commend? Ask yourself that as you read Proverbs. What vice does Proverbs condemn? And what value does it affirm? You see, wisdom isn't just acquired. Wisdom is meant to be applied to our lives. Wisdom's worth. Wisdom's worth. Number two, wisdom's warning. There's a warning here in Scripture. Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then here's the warning. Here's the warning, and this is throughout the book of Proverbs. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here is the warning of Proverbs. Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish. The word folly is also used in Proverbs. That's another synonym of foolishness. Y'all don't write my parents any letters or anything like this, but when I was a kid growing up, I'm going to admit something to you. One of my favorite television shows was The A-Team. I love The A-Team. I don't know if some of you kids don't even have never heard of The A-Team, but Mr. T played a character on The A-Team, all right? And on The A-Team, he's famous for a saying. He would say, I pity the fool. The book of Proverbs, basically, King Solomon, he is saying this, kids. He's saying, I pity the fool, all right? I pity the fool. There is a warning in the book of Proverbs I want you to see. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to take some of these aspects, some of these nuggets of wisdom and some of these warnings about foolishness, and we're going to talk about them. But let me just, by way of introducing this series, let me share with you five features of foolishness or five characteristics of a fool. Just write these down, all right? Here they are. Number one, I wrote down careless feet. I'm going to give you some samples from Proverbs. Careless feet. Proverbs 14:16 says, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. It's the idea of being self-confident and arrogant. It's the idea that you keep walking too close to the edge, and it's the idea that sometimes you even walk off the edge, and what do? You get back up again, and you walk over the edge again. It's the idea that you got careless feet. You don't watch where you're walking. You have no direction, and you have no sense of danger in your life. That's the life of a fool. That's foolishness. Thought about a baby. A baby's born, one of the first things that happens to them is they take that baby's feet, they press them into ink, and they stamp them on that certificate. You think about those baby's feet. You think about where those feet are going to walk and where those feet are going to take that man or that woman. You think about those little feet. Every parent's prayer, we ought to be praying for God to give our children wisdom. We ought to pray that God will use us to give our children wisdom so they will know where to walk with their feet. And we need wisdom. My feet carry me throughout this life, each and every day. And I tell you what, a characteristic of a fool is this. He's got careless feet. Number two, write down this. Quick fists. Quick fists. It's the idea of temper and anger. Proverbs talks a lot about this, and we'll have a specific sermon just on anger and how to handle your temper. The other week at our men's conference, one of the speakers, first speaker out of the gate, talked about how as men, many of us struggle, whether we act like it or not, or admit it or not, many of us struggle down deep with anger issues, and we struggle with our temper. Well, I wrote down quick fists. Proverbs 18, verse 6 says, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. I'll give you another translation of that. Foolish people are always fighting, but avoiding quarrels will bring you honor. I thought about the game we have at the house. We don't have a whole lot. We're not that big into video games, but we finally broke down the other year and got that Wii game, you know, the Wii game. You plug in the TV, and you kind of act out the video games. Well, one of the games that came with the Wii console was boxing. And I finally kind of got into that boxing. For one thing, I tell you, you can get a pretty decent workout doing that boxing game on there. But, you know, so I found myself, I'd be boxing, I'd get one of the kids say, you want to box? All right, we go in there, and, you know, you just pop them, you know, it's just like, you know, you're boxing, you know, and they'll take a hit. You watch, it's all on TV, the characters crack me up. You know, hey, guys, hey, honey, come on in here, you want to play a game? You say, it's the only way I can name, the only way I condone you fighting with your wife, all right? You get in there, you're just kind of boxing, you know, you have to watch those lefts and those rights from her, you know, but you're sitting there. What's hilarious, though, is when you're playing this Wii boxing, what always cracks me up is when finally one of the characters has took all he can take, and he starts to kind of wobble, and because they're funny looking anyway, and they kind of wobble, and then they kind of just, boom, crash right down on the mat. And, you know, you'll sit there, and I'll laugh at that, and they'll show, like, the replay, and they show, like, the last hit that kind of took him out. But we know this. We know what may be funny watching on a video game is no laughing matter when it comes to real life. Anger and temper, quick fists. Man, we need wisdom so we know how to act and we know how to react when all of a sudden we find ourselves in the ring of life and the heat is on. We got to know how not to be foolish. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Another feature of foolishness is loose lips. They used to hang posters up during World War II throughout America saying, loose lips sink ships. Gossip, lying, just talking too much. I wrote down some practical things that I've read in Proverbs. Proverbs 12, 22 tells us that God hates lying. Tell you one thing to do is just remember, just don't lie, all right? Also, I wrote down, if you can't say something kind, don't say anything at all. I mean, boy, I've heard my parents used to tell me that. I tell you another thing, if you want to kind of get your speech under control, and we'll look at this specifically in a few weeks as well, because this is such a biggie, is I just put down talk less. I mean, that's a very practical way to deal with loose lips. Just talk less. I mean, the less you talk, the less you're going to come off as a hypocrite, the less you're going to say stuff you really don't mean, the less you're going to be prone to exaggerate or gossip or whatever. Sometimes we just need to kind of pull back. It's like mom and dad used to say, you know, you got two ears and one mouth, right? You listen twice as much as you talk. I mean, a lot of this, see, it's rooted right here in God's wisdom. Proverbs 17:28. I like this one. 17:28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise when he closes his lips. He is deemed intelligent. You know, now a lot of y'all probably thinking, well, you never do that. You talk nonstop, Brian. I mean, you say, I bet there's never a conversation, there's never a meeting where you're not doing a lot of talking. Well, you know what? Actually, there are times I find myself in meetings. There are times I find myself, for instance, I go out to a board meeting out at the seminary in Kentucky, and this proverb always comes to mind. Because there I'm with like a whole bunch of preachers, and trust me, everybody's talking, all right? I mean, there's all these different thoughts, all these different opinions, and every now and then this proverb, for whatever reason, God is just kind of, he puts it in my heart, and I remember this, and sometimes I'm like, you know, Lord, I'm just gonna sit here quietly for a while and just observe. And they may wonder, well, does he have a comment? Does he have a thought? Does he know anything about this? Well, Lord, I'm going to sit here and just keep my mouth shut unless I open my mouth and absolutely convince them and show them that I don't know what they're talking about. All right? I mean, there's times where you've got to understand that God has a word for us, and sometimes it's be quiet. Talk less. That's a great word of wisdom there. It's from God's word. We'll talk more about loose lips later on. Roaming eyes is another thing. Proverbs warns us about our eyes. I think about Proverbs 17, verse 24. The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. You know what this is? This is the idea that a fool has eyes where he's always looking at somebody else's yard. He's always looking at what somebody else has. I think about the Ten Commandments. Do not covet what your neighbor has. It's the idea there. He's always like, well, you know, that it could be materialistic eyes. Tell you something else. It'd be lustful eyes. A warning about roaming eyes. And men especially, because psychologists tell us that men struggle more with lustful eyes than ladies do. It's the way we're wired. Men, that's a word of warning there for us. Be careful with roaming eyes. And then the number five, plugged ears. That's a characteristic of a fool. Plugged ears. Over and over again in Proverbs. Over and over again. Proverbs 8, verse 32. Sons, listen to me. Proverbs 13, 1, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer, that's another word for fool there too, by the way, does not listen to rebuke. It's the idea that you're just not listening. You're just not absorbing God's wisdom into your life. You're just not paying attention to it. I think about a little child covering her ears. I don't know how you missed the royal wedding that took place this past weekend. Well, one of my favorite pictures from the royal wedding in England was the picture of, did you see that? The little girl covering her ears when they came out on the balcony. I think she's like 3 years old, and she's somehow, I believe, related to Prince William or whatever. But she covered her ears because she didn't want to hear what was going on. You know, we do that sometimes when it comes to God's wisdom. We just cover our ears and say, I don't hear it. A fool's unteachable, unwilling to listen. There's some warnings in Proverbs. Now, I want to give you one other aspect, and it's really the way to wisdom. And these are going to be very, very practical. The way to wisdom, wisdom's way. Look back at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, because here's the first step. This is where it begins. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I wrote down reverence, or revere the Lord. Reverence for the Lord, revere the Lord. The idea there of fear is that you worship, that you reverence, that you revere, that God has a position in your life unlike anyone or anything else. Over and over again in the Bible, we read this, particularly in the book of Proverbs, fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. Revere Him, revere the Lord. That's the first step to wisdom. Number two, obey your parents. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of Proverbs, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. A step to wisdom is obeying your parents. Now, younger folks, children, students here, let me just tell you something. I know your mom and dad, I'm sure, are not perfect, okay? You know, my kids can tell you that their mom and dad, that we're not perfect. But I tell you, something that you're blessed by is at least your mom and dad, I presume, provided you a way to get to church this morning, bought you some clothes to wear to church, and are probably going to feed you at least once today, either before or after church. And I tell you what, that's a blessing in your life right there. And I'm telling you, they are attempting to lead you in God's wisdom. And you pray for your mom and dad and moms and dads. Let's seize the opportunity we have for us to begin to impart this wisdom unto our children. And that's the heart of Solomon here. Listen to us. Listen to us, kids. It's one of the reasons I take it so strongly to heart to teach myself, and my wife is so involved, and so many of you become involved, for instance, in Vacation Bible School. It's because I know there'll be boys and girls who come to Vacation Bible School, and their parents aren't really bringing them to church. Their parents are just bringing them to Vacation Bible School because, man, you know what? They're thinking, wow, this is like the last week of July, and I need a break. And they're bringing them, and I said, bring them on. Bring them on. Let them come hang out with us for about 3 hours. And for like 4 days in a row, man, we're just gonna try to teach them God's wisdom. As Stinky Stan said, we're gonna try to mine for those gold nuggets in God's words, you know? And man, we have the opportunity to teach. I think about those who teach and serve the children in Bible studies and those who work with our youth and everything that happens here. You know, understand that what we're attempting to do is we're attempting to disciple children in the way of the Lord. So students and children here, I'm telling you, there's a good word here about obeying your parents. Number three, I wrote this down because look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And for the next few verses, he begins to talk to his children about those they hang out with. Verse 15, do not walk in the way with them. He's talking about those who have feet that according to verse 16, run to evil. I wrote this down. Number three, choose friends carefully. You got to choose your friends carefully. Last night, our family decided we want to take a walk out by the reservoir down in Wood Lake by the pavilion there, Swift Creek Reservoir, beautiful area. We've done church things out there. Well, we've been given a heads up that, you know, Cosby High School prom was last night, and a lot of kids, you know, well, we didn't think this many kids would be down there, but we heard some of the kids would be down there dressed up, and there'd be a lot of pretty dresses and a lot of, you know, just go down and just kind of see what's going on. Man, it looked like half the high school was there last night. I mean, we got out there, and I just saw all of these students, and some of them I've known and watched grow up. And well, first of all, it just made me feel really old. But other than that, it's just, you know, you know what hit me? I thought, oh God, please, Give them wise friends. Give them wise friends. And just walking in here, one of the mothers of one of those young folks that was there last night was telling me how her daughter made a wise decision. It was just a blessing to hear that, about just on her own, without being told, she was making some decisions about where she was going to be and all that last night. Wisdom. Wisdom. That brings me to the fourth way of wisdom. You have to listen. You have to listen to wisdom. Verse 20 of chapter 1, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. What you will see as you read the book of Proverbs is over and over again, you're going to see that you have an option. You're either going to listen to wisdom or you're going to listen to foolishness. That's how it's really pictured. And so over and over again, you hear this cry, listen to wisdom, listen to wisdom. Or you're likely to follow foolishness. Thought about racing. Racing was here this week, and NASCAR was in Richmond. I've been to a couple NASCAR races, at RIR. And what's interesting is, race car drivers, they really depend on what are called spotters. Spotters are critical team members for racing teams. Spotters are placed in strategic locations around the racetrack, and what they do is they tell the driver when to go left, when to go right, when to speed up, when to slow down, because really race car drivers really drive to a certain degree almost blind, because they can't really see much around them. They can pretty much just see right in front of them, and they really depend on these spotters to tell them what is the wise way to go. And sometimes a race car driver doesn't have a good spotter, and it causes them to wreck. Sometimes race car drivers have decided not to listen to their spotter, and they wreck. I'm telling you, you have an Almighty God, the wisest, most awesome spotter of all time. Almighty God tells you left, go right, speed up, slow down. That's what you're going to discover in the next few weeks as we read and study the book of Proverbs together. You're going to hear God's wisdom, but you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to listen? Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 11, he told us, and he said this in a few other places too, but he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are you going to listen to wisdom or not? I'm going to give you a challenge. Billy Graham has said that he reads 5 Psalms a day and he reads a chapter of Proverbs a day, so he knows how to act towards the Lord and he knows how to be around other people. Proverbs gives us that kind of wisdom. So I'm going to give you that challenge. I'm calling it a proverb a day in May. Today is May 1. And by the way, I was kind enough to go ahead and teach you a good bit of Proverbs chapter 1. So if you've kind of given you a head start, all right? Maybe you want to read a little bit of Proverbs 1 again today on your own. And I just want to encourage you, every day, tomorrow, read some from Proverbs 2. Read the whole thing. Now, here's something to keep in mind. The first, 9 chapters of Proverbs, you're not going to find many of these little catchy sayings. Because really, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, what you're going to read this next week, they really are designed to help you understand the value of Proverbs, the value of God's wisdom. But I tell you what, man, next week, you're going to get into these little sayings. And I guarantee you, every day you read, pretty much, you're going to find, one sentence. I'm going to write that one down. And you're gonna Twitter it, you're gonna text it, you're gonna email it, you're gonna Facebook it. Well, how cool would that be? If all the stuff we sent out on Facebook, if all of a sudden from this church family, just the folks here, if we started Facebooking a proverb a day, just picking one verse of proverb, boom, and you put that on Facebook, boom, you think about the impact. God's wisdom. God's wisdom. A proverb a day in May. I hope you'll accept that challenge. I want to pray for you as we get ready to sing our closing song, our song of response. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, but he was considered to be the foolishness. He was considered to be foolishness to the world. You have to make a decision. Are you gonna put your faith, your trust, your allegiance in Jesus Christ and trust him as the wisdom of God? See, when you do that, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live and dwell in your life, and he will help you to not just acquire God's wisdom, but apply God's wisdom in your life. So if you're here today as we sing this song, if you're not convinced, if you're not sure that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to invite you during the song to come forward, and we're going to pray together, and I'm going to get some information so we can talk with you and follow up with you and encourage you in your walk with Jesus, all right? Maybe you want to unite with this church family today. You can come forward and talk with us about that. And during this song, I want to encourage each and every one of you to thank God for His wisdom and to tell God if you're willing to seek Him each and every day. Father, move among us now, we pray. Help us to respond to Your word, we pray. Help us to take it to heart and soul today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Let's sing this song.